You're now tuned in to the Front Row Hoopcast.
Season 3, Episode 4 of the Front Row Hoopcast, your show for everything Butler basketball. I'm your host, Ari Castle. I'm joined by Brendan King, returned to us from Florida for the winter meetings.
And winter especially.
And there you go. We missed you while you were gone. Butler apparently missed you too, because it was not the greatest stretch since you were gone. Butler got that whooping on by Purdue, and then they played Morehead State last night, and they won the game. But Brendan, I was not overly enthused by it. I didn't think they looked great. I mean, what did you think?
I didn't feel good about it. I mean, they a lot of defensive mistakes, a lot of lapses in the defensive rotations. I mean, they got great looks from the corners. They got great looks from the wings. I mean, you got to be happy that you played Morehead State, because if you're playing Xavier Villanova,
you get beat by 25.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. And I think the big issue I've had with every game this year is our offense. And to me, it makes no sense whatsoever with our personnel. And the reason I say that is because it's a dribble drive offense. So Keelan and Kamar will get a screen set for them, and they'll go to the basket. And the option is either to A, take it all the way, or suck the defense in for a kick out. And, you know, fine, makes sense. But the problem is, when you're kicking the ball out to Aaron Thompson or Tyler Wideman, you got nothing. Purdue, I will give a ton of credit to. They came up with the perfect blueprint.
They were ready?
Perfect blueprint. This is what they did. They basically put three guys in the lane and dared Keelan and Kamar to either go 3-on-1, look how many turnovers they had, or to kick it out to Aaron Thompson and Tyler Wideman, who they left wide open and said, shoot it. Go ahead. How many times, Brendan, in that Purdue game did we see 5 seconds left on the clock and Tyler Wideman or Aaron Thompson had the ball on the perimeter with nothing to do?
A lot, and that's the big thing, because Thompson took his first three of the season last night, and it was from half court.
It was a forced shot, yeah.
Yeah, right, exactly. And that was something that I saw a lot in terms of you kick it out to Thompson, and then he shot fakes, but what's the point of a shot fake if you're Aaron Thompson? Because he's not going to shoot it. So he shot fakes, and then he'll go to the elbow, and he'll try a floater, and it wasn't even hitting the rim.
It's a problem, because if maybe you take out Wideman and Thompson and put in McDermott and Fowler with that offense, I could see it making sense, because you can't leave McDermott and Fowler open for three.
But Fowler was 0 for 3 in the Purdue game, though.
He missed all of his threes. But he's more. You have to guard him, though. You have to respect.
Yeah.
So that spreads out the defense. The spacing with Thompson and Wideman out there kills us, because Purdue can just pack it in there. Teams just pack it in and say, either go 3-on-1 and they face guard Paul Jorgensen so they can't get the ball to him. It doesn't make much sense. So I ask you, Brendan, in order for this offense to work, do you need to bench Aaron Thompson for a shooter?
See, that's the thing that keeps on going yes and no. It depends on the game that Aaron Thompson has. It seems like we go back and forth with him. It's just there hasn't been a lot of productivity from him despite the hours of practice. And here's the thing, that Paul Jorgensen's always going to come up, no matter what, when we do this show.
Uh-huh.
In his past five games, he's shooting 51% from three.
He's had a very
51%.
He's had good moments in games.
Yeah.
Has he had a good entire game? No. We'll get into that in a minute.
Relax. But I think this is on Lavelle Jordan in terms of picking the situation. We talked about it last episode. He's not doing very well in picking the situation to put specific guys on the floor, and that's the big thing.
I think you could not have said that any better. My whole thing with Lavelle is that people ask me, you know, is Lavelle a good coach? And in my opinion, you know, when you can see a coach, you can tell pretty quickly whether or not they know what they're doing. With Holtman, when he first came in as an interim, you knew within the first five games this dude knew what he was doing.
That's when they beat North Carolina.
In the Atlantis, correct. Yeah. With Lavelle, I don't want to say he's a bad coach, but he hasn't shown me anything to indicate that he is a good coach. Our play calling has been questionable. Our offensive defensive schemes are iffy, and our lack of recruiting is iffy. Again, but it's early for him, but at this moment, he really hasn't shown me anything that he can be a great coach. I'm not saying he couldn't be. It's his first year as the head coach at Butler. But again, had he not been a Butler guy, would he have gotten this job with a 10-21 record in Milwaukee?
That's a hell of a question.
I don't think so.
I don't think he'd be your first choice.
No.
I think a big part of it was keeping the tradition. I mean, I said this publicly on Twitter after Holtman left, that I thought Shragi should have been the guy.
Yeah,
I said it on Twitter. I didn't delete it. I think he should have been the guy. I'm not taking away from Jordan at all, but if we're bringing this up, Shragi was my number one and Terry was my number two.
Peden was actually, I thought all of our assistants last year were outstanding. This year's assistants. I'm a little weary.
No disrespect to Omar Lowry, but who are you? I have no idea who he is. Like, he was an assistant 1 year at Milwaukee. I'm going to bring up his...
I think he was at, like, Texas Southern.
No. Hold on here. I'm going to bring up his coaching resume. Milwaukee, Sam Houston State, San Jose State, Cal Poly, Texas State, Eastern New Mexico.
It's not a very flashy resume.
It's not. And I understand that Jordan wanted to bring him from Milwaukee for a sense of familiarity, and he wanted to keep Emerson for a sense of familiarity. But, look, Jeff Meyer is definitely my favorite assistant.
Because he's the most experienced.
Right. But Lowry and Campen, I don't know if they're going to be around next year.
It doesn't instill confidence because when you have a young coach who hasn't had a lot of coaching experience, you need a really experienced staff. Emerson Campen was an interim assistant for 1 year.
And then the analyst.
And an analyst. And then, Jeff Meyer has experience. And then Omar Lowry's never had a ton of experience in a high major basketball. So I agree. That is concerning. I've heard of that a lot. All right. I would agree with you.
You like these guys because they're trying to make this team better, but at the same time, I mean, there had to be other guys out there that wanted to come coach a Big East school.
I think there's a condition in Butler fans that everyone wants to like their head coach. I noticed this when, even during bad times like of Brandon Miller's year where we were stinking it up, people like refused to just say like, oh man, this is bad. Butler fans want to love their head coach and they want to love their assistants and they want to love their players. But at some time, you kind of have to look at it and say, man, objectively, this isn't looking great.
No, it's not. And one thing I was texting you about yesterday, I was thinking back to my freshman year, your senior year, when Brandon Miller was the coach.
Mm-hmm.
Look, compared to this year and compared to that year, I was more confident as a Butler fan that year with Brandon Miller than I am right now for a couple of reasons. One, Rose Jones was coming back, your best player. Two, you had Keelan Martin and Tyler Wideman coming into the school. Three, the only guys that you're graduating were Kyle Marshall, an undersized forward, 6'6 for the Big East, and Eric Fromm. And four, that coaching staff was fantastic. Holtman was your assistant. Michael Lewis, Terry Johnson.
I absolutely agree with you. And I know that's scary to a lot of Butler fans, but I was thinking about the same thing this morning, actually, that I had more confidence in that staff than I do this. And that's not an insult to this one.
Not at all.
It's just I haven't seen anything yet.
No, I mean, but look at that staff. Michael Lewis is now a top assistant in Nebraska. Terry Johnson's top assistant at Ohio State. And we know where Holtman is.
Back to the games on the court, Brendan. Mm-hmm. I hear a lot on Twitter, the defense looked good, but the offense needs work. And I'm shaking my head at that as well because I'm not sure why people think our defense is that good. We're allowing opponents to shoot 40% from three. That's one of the bottom 10 in the entire country. We're going for a lot of turnovers, but I don't think our defense looks that good. I don't think our offense looks that good. I get that it's kind of an illusion when you have Kamar and Aaron Thompson getting a lot of steals, but we are giving up a lot of wide open threes and we're getting burned by it.
Very scared for Big East play in terms of under the basket. Nate Fowler doesn't have more than 4 rebounds in a game this year.
Mm-hmm.
Joey Brunk seeing limited minutes. We've talked about that every episode. Now that I think Brunk should earn more minutes than Nate. And, you know, Tyler Wideman, I mean, compared to other years, it's looking more like a weak year for him.
I agree. I don't understand the whole Joey Brunk thing because we talked about this a few weeks ago where a buddy of mine had said Brunk is the best rebounder Butler had in a decade, not named
That's
Cam
not
Woods.
True.
I honestly, I've been watching him a lot recently. He may have been on the money there because he gets to a lot of stuff that he has no business getting to just in pure rebounding stats. There's a lot of other things like his footwork, but he gets to a lot of rebounds.
I'd like to see him rebound during Big East play. I mean, it's one thing to rebound against people like Kennesaw State and Morehead State, but you know when he matches up with Sean O'Mara from Xavier, that's a matchup I want to see. The big guys, I want to see him go against established Big East centers.
What about his matchup against Isaac Haas?
Ugh.
Yeah, not too great. So we were talking.
He was in foul trouble though.
He was. He always is. Mark it down.
Yeah, always.
We were talking about Christian David earlier. Mm-hmm. We were texting about this. My issue is this with Christian David, and he was recruited as a 6'7 shooting guard, and they're playing him. I thought he was going to be like Kellen Dunham, kind of coming off screens and shooting threes. They're kind of treating him like Austin Etherington, where he's down low setting screens and kind of banging down low. Yeah. He's more of an outside player, I think. I don't like what they're doing with him.
And I think that's just because of the lack of size. I mean, that's because Nate Fowler, I mean, he's kind of like a big dog that thinks he's small. He's one of those types of players. It's just the lack of size. I mean, obviously, McDermott, another 6'7 guy, was hurt, so David had to go and play in the post and things like that. But now that McDermott's back, and as he continues to see more minutes, we'll see how David's value evolves. But playing 6 minutes last night against Morehead State?
Yeah, it doesn't. I don't get that either. And you see how many minutes, like Keelan and Kamar are averaging like 38 minutes a game. Like, yeah. Get your bench
and
involved.
This is the time to put David out
I
there.
I agree. It's concerning. I don't want to pigeonhole him as a big guy when he's just not. I get that we have a lack of size, but play guys where they're going to play at the next level.
And Christian, I mean, right now, with Kamar Baldwin shooting 29% from three, This is a time where Christian David needs to step up.
I agree.
We talked about it last night. You know, I'm not ready to say Kamar Baldwin is having a sophomore slump, but man, 29% from three. I looked at other former Big East players that I would compare to Kamar Baldwin. During his sophomore year, Josh Hart shot 46% from three. During his sophomore year, Desi Rodriguez from Seton Hall shot 38% from three, another lefty. If Baldwin wants to get on their level, that three ball's got to start going in.
I wouldn't say it's a sophomore slump. I'd say it's, again, this offense forces him to take bad shots. You look at Keelan Martin as well. His shooting is drastically down. When you're forced to take contested shots going one-on-one, you're not going to have a high percentage. It has nothing to do with Kamar getting suddenly less talented. It's we're taking shots that are so tough.
I didn't say that.
I know. I'm just saying in general that it's not. I don't think it's anything he's doing. I think it's the system we're running is struggling. And as a coach, you have to look and say, man, we either got to change something up or put new guys in who can run this system. I mean, listen, we're going to end up talking about Paul Jorgensen anyway. So, I mean, talk about it now. I will give Paul credit. He's played well in moments over the past few weeks. When I first complained about him, I said that he was trying to create his own offense and taking bad shots. Mm-hmm. He has really changed his game, and he's letting the offense come to him and waiting to be, you know, given the ball for an open shot like Avery Woodson. And I wish you could see my Twitter timeline every time he makes a three, because people just tweeted me like, oh, Ari, you're such a dumbass. Like, here's my thing, and honestly, I'm going to get more hate for this. Paul Jorgensen, through three quarters of the Purdue game, had 2 points.
Yeah.
Paul Jorgensen, and then when we were down by 25, he starts showing up.
Got us to nine.
We still got blown out of that game.
Yeah, sure, buddy.
Last night, 0-for-6 in the first half against Morehead State. We're up by 15. He starts to show up. It's great that you can have stretches where you show up, but if you're doing it in garbage time, that means nothing to me.
I think that's the team as a whole.
The starts
have been terrible.
It is, and I don't want to single out Paul for that, but I think it's one of those things where we just can't get into a rhythm.
No.
It's very concerning to me.
Me too, but as inconsistent at times, you got to look at the numbers. Like I said earlier, 51%. In his past five games.
He's played well. I'm not disputing that.
We talked about last episode, you thought he was going to get down to 35% at times.
I still think he will once Big East play comes along. You look at the first half against Purdue, he was getting face guarded and he couldn't do jack against them. Purdue got up by 25, this defense got a little lax, and then he started heating up. Mm-hmm. If you're going to keep us competitive in Big East games, you can't only show up when we're out of the game or when we're up by so many. You have to be able to fight back when we're down 5 or 6 and we need a bucket.
I do think it's tough for him, though, because he's one of the few players on this team that is aggressive.
Yes.
In terms of shot taking.
I mean, there's a misconception that, like, I want Paul Jorgensen to do bad.
I think in a past life, like, you guys had some kind of run-in.
When he shoots a shot, I hope it goes in every single time. Butler fans think, like, I hate Paul Jorgensen and that I want him to miss every shot. No, I want him to shoot 100% from the year. My issue is that his shot selection is still not that great. He gets lucky a lot with some of his threes. You know, water finds its level. He's not going to continue to make those at a high rate. Again, if he continues to play like this consistently throughout a game, not in one quarter patches, I'll be happy. But we need that production throughout an entire game, not when the stakes are down and we're down by 25.
That's fair.
Brendan, there was a lot of hot takes in this episode. I'm sweating over
here.
Hot
takes only.
Hot takes only. We got about a couple of minutes left. Is there anything else we need to cover?
Jared Gillen's Butler saw some time last night.
I think
he may have eaten a small child as an
appetizer. He is, man, I don't know why we didn't redshirt him.
He's a large man.
He looked kind of lost out there. he's got the body kind of Rose and kind of the same game. But
when they were recruiting him, it was Rose Jones with the jump shot. But the jump I haven't seen a jump shot.
I haven't seen really anything from him. It's been disappointing.
Yeah, that's a question mark right there. I mean, if there's a question mark of your freshman class, it's definitely Gerald Gillen's Butler. But I mean, you know, hey, Western Illinois tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm hoping we put a good showing out.
Can
for
Christian
them.
David get more than 6 minutes?
The problem with Christian David and Butler is like, we need them to play next year. Like, we don't have a recruiting class coming in. We lose Keelan and Weidman. It's concerning that we are going to be counting on these guys to step up next year. They're not getting minutes now when they need it the most, because they're not going to be able to get fed minutes in Big East play like they would be.
I just hope Christian David is not one of those Elijah Brown guys that doesn't like his role, doesn't like his minutes, and decides to jump ship.
I was thinking about
I'm
that.
Not, I, we're no, not I was saying think, the word. Yeah, I was I thinking am not about saying that. The T word, but we know what Elijah Brown did way back when. He didn't like it. He's at Oregon now. That's stupid. But I'm not going to say the T word, but man, like,
if I'm a
freshman, that's a 4-star. And I'm getting 6 minutes a game.
On this type of team. Playing well. It does make me nervous. We will have to see. Big East plays coming up. Brendan, we'll have another episode before we start that.
Oh, yeah.
But for now, IU sucks. Go Dogs.
Go Dogs.